But first of all, I'm going to talk a bit about dewdrops. I'm going to talk a little bit about a kind of image of impermanence from the Zen tradition and from Zen poetry. So I'll start with a little poem. The Lakshanas can cut like blades sometimes, while the dewdrop world is the dewdrop world. But yet. So the Lakshanas can cut like blades sometimes, while the dewdrop world is the dewdrop world. But yet. And this is a poem by somebody called Isa, who lived in the 18th century, Japanese poet. And he had just had this really difficult life where his mum died when he was very young, and then he had a stepmother who sort of made his life hell. So he left home as soon as he could. And eventually he married when he was about 50, and he had four children, and they all died in infancy. And then his wife died in childbirth, and then his house burnt down. And then eventually he remarried when he was quite old, and he finally had a daughter who lived, but she wasn't born till after his death, so he died when he was 65. So it's a little kind of life story of Isa. And if you read his poems, he just writes the most beautiful, simple, sad poetry. And he has this quality of empathy. So he often writes about things like flies. He'll write about a fly with this huge amount of kind of empathy that he's really like put himself in the position, in the fly's shoes, so to speak. They don't really have shoes, do they? It's just these beautiful sort of simple poetry filled with empathy. This world of dew is nothing but a world of dew, and yet. So I'll just come back to that in a minute, this world of dew. I was also reading a book about Dogen's poetry, and he's the same in that he uses this image of dew and dewdrops. And he lived in the 13th century and is on our refuge tree, one of the teachers on our refuge tree. His mother and father both died when he was very young, and he had quite a strong, I suppose, insight really, as a very young boy, into the whole of life being very fragile, this kind of loss and grief. And he decided to become a monk when he was about 14. And he writes, "Dewdrops on a blade of grass, having so little time before the sun rises, let not the autumn wind blow so quickly on the field." So if you read this Zen poetry, Japanese poetry, and if you read about it, you realize there's all these kind of themes which are quite definite. They mean definite things. So, and they're reoccurring. So like one is the seasons. You always get the seasons, poetry about the seasons, and each season is a symbol for something else. And it's interesting because we're in the season of death, and impermanence, being autumn. And also apparently in this poetry, dew, whenever dew appears as a sort of as an image, it also means autumn, interestingly. So it's like this kind of fleetingness. It's like a sort of something disappearing in the dew. So you have this image of dew being an image of impermanence, really, an image of sort of transience of things. And there's a little saying or something that goes, "Which will last longer, the master or his dwelling?" And it's said to be like asking, "Which will last longer, the dew on the morning glory, or the morning glory itself?" And we've got this. Chris has planted this morning glory, so I keep thinking about it because these flowers come out, and then they don't last the day, do they? They last about half a day. So, in a way, when we ask the question, "Which lasts longer, the dew or the morning glory?" it's like, well, maybe the dew will fade before the flower does, or maybe the flower will fade before the dew does. But either way, by evening time, they'll both be gone. So it's that sort of image. And then you also have another image to do with dew, which is dew frost. So I've just come across this, actually, this idea of dew frost. And if you go out very early in the morning, on a morning, I don't know what weather conditions cause this, but you know that, like, sometimes there's just lots of dew, isn't there? It's very kind of wet, so you get those kind of misty mornings. And if you go up by the reservoir where there's, I mean, I particularly notice it here, but by the reservoir there's these fences, or these kind of, yeah, kind of like open sort of fence. And is full of cobwebs, you know, which are presumably there, well, they're obviously there all the time, but you don't normally see them. But because they're covered in dew, in this dew frost, I suppose it's the same as a sort of frost, you can see all these kind of forms out in nature that you don't normally see. So again, this dew frost is used as a sort of symbol of things being insubstantial. So it's as if we need to reflect that we are as insubstantial as that kind of dew frost, those kind of forms made of dew, made of nothing, you know, that will fade as the sun comes out. And then the image of dew drops. So in this poetry, when he talks about the dewdrop world, well, the image of dew drops is an image for tears. So it brings in the kind of whole emotional, the emotions that go with these reflections on impermanence and insubstantiality, that kind of reflection has got a certain kind of flavour, and the flavour is sadness. So these dewdrops, they represent tears. So it's a kind of sort of painfulness. And I think, you know, it's quite interesting because it's the three Lakshanas. So dew is impermanence, the dew frost is insubstantiality, and the dewdrops is sort of painfulness, yeah, suffering, sadness.